O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The series, which is just a two-part series, which I began last Sunday, Total Forgiveness, is based on an address I originally heard by R.T. Kendall, who was for 25 years the Baptist minister at Westminster Chapel in London. And last week we talked about the story of Joseph, and if you've got Bibles handy, you might like to have a look at Genesis chapter 45, just to have it open. Our reading was from Genesis 50, and you'll see how that ties in at the end. And so I set the scene of the context of where Joseph came to that point of totally forgiving those who had hurt him. Now, I don't find anything easy in what I share with you because I'm human. And I have lived with the struggles that most of us will struggle with. And being in a public place, sometimes it can be pretty intense, though, praise God, not here. And at the end of the sermon last week, I invited you to consider this question. If God was to show you that you haven't totally forgiven after all, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So how can we know how we have totally forgiven the one who has hurt us? Well, proof one. You don't tell anyone what he or she did to you. Now, that's not easy, is it? So Genesis 45 verses 1, everyone left his presence so that there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. It was done behind closed doors. It was there that Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers. Why? Because he is going to persuade them to come and live in Egypt, and he does not want anyone in Egypt to know what they had done. He is a hero in Egypt, and he wants his brothers to be heroes. But he knew that if the Egyptians were to hear what had happened, they would hate his brothers, which is exactly what he once wanted. And we do this. We don't want people to like the person who hurt us. So we talk about them. And we talk about what they did to us. It's our weapon to punish. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. We want to punish the person who hurt us, and our weapon to make sure that they are not liked. So we talk. We want to minimize their credibility. Now here's a thought. If God were to tell what he knows about you, how would you feel? But it will never happen. Because as far as God is concerned, our sins, our wrong behavior is removed from us as far as the east is from the west. How come? Because it was all dealt with at the cross of Christ. But when I turn around and tell what I know about you because you hurt me, God says, oh my goodness me, how could they do that? There is no nonsense verse, Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. God has a way of bringing that right back to us when we want to get away with it. So, proof two. You won't let the person who hurt you be afraid of you. Genesis 45:3, Joseph says, is my father still living? But his brothers were terrified in his presence. We could only imagine what that would have been like. The brothers are really scared. Now he had once longed for that. He would have dreamed of that day when those brothers were scared, and now it's happened, he doesn't want it. He says, come close to me. You see, he just wanted to love them. The truth is, when we want someone to be afraid of us, we have not forgiven them. Why? Because we don't want to lose our ability to control them. You walk into a room and you see that person and they freeze. And you think, oh, good. When we threaten the person and have them afraid of us, we have not forgiven. You're saying you want more of Jesus? Our willingness to forgive will reveal the extent we really want him. Proof three. You won't even let them feel guilty. This is what Joseph is setting out to do in verse 5. Don't be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me. I mean, that must have, at one stage, would have really got stuck in his throat. Can you imagine it? I mean, how would you like it? You've been sold off by your brothers and or sisters or whatever they might be into slavery. How would you be feeling? Something had radically changed in his life, hadn't it? Don't be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves. See, if we ever say, I forgive you, but I hope you feel bad about it. Or, I will forgive you when you are sorry. And if they say they're sorry, you say, well, I don't think you're sorry. Well, I am. Well, I don't think you're sorry. If we say we will offer forgiveness only when they are sorry, we've set ourselves up to stay angry and bitter for the rest of our life. You might say, surely you don't have to forgive unless they repent first. Well, make a choice. Which covenant do you want to be under? The old covenant with its tit for tat? This is what's been going on in the Middle East. Suicide bomber and revenge for that, then revenge for revenge, and nobody will break the cycle. Or you can decide today to make Jesus your model. I seem to recall him on the cross saying, forgive them, they don't know what they have done. And how much repentance was there at the cross? Hey, Son of God, come down from the cross so we can see and believe. He saved others, but he can't save himself. No repentance at the cross. The people who demand repentance are never going to be satisfied anyway. Now, if you feel a little convicted, please don't go up to somebody and say, I forgive you for what they've done. Because they're going to say, what have I done? And you will say, you know exactly what you've done. Well, I'm sorry, I don't. Well, you should. Well, I don't. You should. And now you've got a fight on your hands, which is really what you wanted. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it, says Jeremiah. Now, here is a very sobering truth. It is said that 9 out of 10 people we have to forgive don't think they have done anything, and they would genuinely mean that. On the other side, this also means that there are people who have to forgive you, and you don't think you have done anything. The people I had to forgive would have said they haven't done anything. And if they did, they would have justified it quite reasonably. And that's what hurts. See, it's got to happen here, in the heart. Now here's something important. When you forgive someone, you are not agreeing or approving of what they did. Much guilt has been forced on people for thinking that if they forgive, then they're saying that the person who they're forgiving was right and I was wrong. While there will be times when we have shared responsibility for what happened, there will be many times when we have been wronged and that has not changed. Forgiveness is about setting yourself free so that God can do his work in all people involved. Besides which, all the bitterness you harbour towards somebody else actually doesn't affect them a great deal at all. Who does it affect? You. You're the one that's being screwed and you're wanting to screw them. Something quite cranky about this motion stuff when you do that. I don't know why we carry so much around. We just hope, don't we? But it never works that way. Now, don't be surprised that the one you have to forgive is someone either close to you or somebody highly respected or even having a reputation for being godly. Remember the poem, living with the saints above, oh, that will be glory. Living with the saints below, well, that's another story. Total forgiveness is when you don't let them feel guilty. Proof 4. You will let them save face. It's when you protect the person's self-esteem. Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, has a section, Let the Other Person Save Face. Carnegie says that when you let a person save face, you win a friend for life because they know what you've done. You've covered for them. This is what Joseph does. He says, don't be angry with yourself. The truth is, God sent me ahead of you. Somebody had to get here first. Somebody had to go to save your lives, and it was me. So verse 8, it's not you who sent me here, but God. Talk about letting them save face. They can't believe this. You can just imagine the sort of almost bewilderment of his brothers. I can imagine them looking at each other and having difficulty believing it. Actually, it was Joseph's way of saying, had I been among you brothers and it was one of the others who were doing what I did, well, I would have done what you did. Now, here's something to think about. Total forgiveness will get rid of the self-righteousness in you. Joseph was not pointing the finger. He lets them save face. Now here's a secret. Any relationship that is on the rocks can be healed by sundown if both would stop pointing the fingers. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Why do we keep records? To prove we've paid. It's proof of what happened. This is the message the church needs more than any in the world, it seems to me. And if it would happen, it would transform this church. Transform our lives. Get people speaking to each other in a way they've never done before. It would also be a message that the people outside the church long to see and hear. Too often our credibility is sacrificed on the altar of self-righteousness. Where there is no forgiveness, there is no witness. Proof 5. You protect them from their darkest secret. Now these brothers are saying to themselves, well, it's all well and good for Joseph. He's forgiven us, but we're going to have to go back and tell Dad. Can you imagine what that would have been like? They would dread going back to Jacob and confess what they did to their brother and his son, considering he was his father's favourite son. They would rather die than to have to do that. And Joseph knew this. So he tells them word for word what they had to say when they got back to Canaan. Verse 9, he says, now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. He won't let them tell Jacob what they did. He protects them from their darkest secrets. Now, I suspect if you're human, you've probably got a skeleton or two in the cupboard. And God isn't anxious to expose us before people, nor should we. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? No. In the Lord's Prayer, the phrase, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, in the Greek literally reads, forgive us our sins in proportion. That puts a bit of spice to it, doesn't it? In proportion to how we forgive those who sin against us. Total forgiveness is when we forgive in the way God has forgiven us. And we protect people from their darkest secret and we assure them that no one will ever know. And finally, total forgiveness is a life sentence. This is very important. You have to keep it doing it as long as you live. 17 years after, later in Genesis 50, our reading today, old Jacob dies and then his brothers panic. Now Dad's gone, we know what's going to happen. So they make up a story and they go to Joseph and say, Joseph, before Dad died, he told us to go to you and say, please forgive us for what we did to you. We're your slaves. And what did Joseph do? Did you remember? He cried. He's saying, what's the matter with you guys? I told you 17 years ago I forgave you. And I forgave you then, and I forgive you now. It still worked. It was real. He really had forgiven them. It's not just doing it once. Now last week I talked about R.T. Kendall and that something that had happened to him in his life. And he couldn't tell anybody, so he told his friend Joseph Zone. And R.T. says, the people he forgave who were behind that dark period of my life. He says, 6 weeks after I forgave them, I got to thinking about it. They're off the hook. And I'd get all upset. And I'd lose the victory. Then I would remember and I'd get my peace back by forgiving them. and I forgive them again. And then 2 months later, I'd think, that means nobody's going to know. And I'd get all upset again. And I'd lose my peace. And it went back and forth. Back and forth. And by the way, he says, I made a discovery. Peace is better. Father, we struggle at times forgiving those who have hurt us. We pray that you'll give us the courage to do that journey. And Holy Spirit, you would keep us sharp to it. And Lord, we understand that it's easier to forgive than to forget. So help us, Lord, to let go so that we can begin the process of forgetting. And Lord, thank you that your forgiveness is so utter and complete. And by your Spirit, help us to achieve the same, that we might be a witness of grace and hope, and that we would know peace that passes all understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.